You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. How'd you like that? That's my sip drum. My new sip drum. Using it in church for percussion. Yeah. We could start our show off that way. Here's Dan Olven. Sorry, wait. I got to move my drum set under the center of my recording studio. There I want it right up front. I got a big
It won't fit in your recording studio.
No, you're not kidding. I can't get a snare drum in this recording studio. It's so claustrophobic in here. It's unbelievable. But we're doing it. We're doing it for the cause of the people.
Well, I hear Tim Nation. Still fighting your cold.
Just a little bit. It's coming. Just a little nasal. And when you got a nasal like I got a nasal, that's a big deal.
Hey, before we get started, I just want to make mention that today is December 7th, and of course, end of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and I just want to mention that I am thankful for those that gave their lives to keep our nations free. December 7th, a date that will live in infamy, Roosevelt certainly did say, and it certainly has. Now, for you and me, you know, there's a generation here, they think World War II, that was ancient history. But, you know, I was born in 61, so whenever I was 5 years old, World War II had just been ended for 20 years. So it was still very current in our society. And, you know, to try to make a correlation, 9/11 happened now 17 years ago. And so, it's still relevant, very relevant in our culture, in our society. So that's why, even though I was quite removed from World War II, but when I was growing up, it was very relevant in our culture. And so, you know, so I do think that dates like this need to be remembered.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you been to Pearl Harbor? You ever been there?
No, I haven't. If I ever go to Hawaii, I definitely want to go see that memorial.
Oh, yeah. We had the privilege of going. Our church sent us for our 25th anniversary. It's very moving. Oh, it's...
Yes.
It's weird. It's weird. You know what really kind of threw me a little bit? The number of Japanese people that were there. There's Japan vacations in Hawaii because it's close.
Yes.
And those feelings have been forgotten by most. So it was kind of neat. They were coming and they were paying their respects. It was really neat. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's those kind of dates do need to be remembered. If we don't remember them, we're doomed to repeat them.
Yeah.
So thank you to all those who gave their lives, American citizens who gave their lives in that great conflict. Wow, terrible. Brother Wolven, we started last podcast, or actually ended last podcast, talking about drums. It's a real issue, and it's become a division that's divided. Every church, we believe, is independent. It's a local independent Baptist church. That church can decide what it does. And I would say that there are some of our independent Baptist churches who are beginning to move this way, who have incorporated these things. Most of our older guys have not, will not. We have some younger guys that have and will. And the question becomes, do we discredit them? Are they Ichabod if they have a set of drums? What's the problem with drums? So you kind of had the last thought on that. I'm going to let you kind of pick that up again, and then I'll jump in later.
Well, we've sort of morphed into a whole bunch of questions in that introduction. So, you know, as far as every church has the opportunity, amen. As far as us thinking ill of another brother, of another congregation, that's not right. We love to think evil. The very first thing we think of is to think evil. And if that's a situation, then we've got a problem. As far as wanting the influence in our church, that's up to every pastor. If they think that maybe another church, another congregation, you know, generally maybe somebody who's a little bit more of a nationally known, and if they think that that influence is not a good influence for their church, they have every right to say, you know, I want to be careful with so-and-so. But I don't think it's always best for us to start wars in our pulpits over somebody else unless it's over doctrine. And so, right. You know, that, and I do know that the doctrine that leads to godliness, it, certainly all of our doctrine should promote us to be more like Christ and to be more holy. So that's the beginning of that thought there.
You asked me, you know, if I would have drums, if I was going to continue in the pastorate. Again, I will tell you this, that growing up, my downfall, the vice that I struggled with was rock music and the wrong kind of music in my life. And it did have an impact, and it wasn't a positive one. So part of my restraint is that music led me in a wrong way.
Amen.
And we know that the driving part of rock music, or, you know, pop or whatever you call it today, is the drums. I mean, that's what drove it, and that's what excites, and that's what moves the body. So part of mine is a resistance to that. Again, I would have, if somebody had, you know, I should get the right name of this thing, but one of those little beat boxes where it's just a little box and guys sitting down, you know, and you hold it with your knees and play it. I don't mind that, because that's not the central theme. That's not driving things, and it's not becoming out of hand. It's just a filler. It's just a percussion instrument. I don't have a problem with that at all. And I enjoy other instruments. We had a guy play the other night. He played his bass guitar with our men's group to fill in the bass section. He was sitting on the front row, and he is very modest, very quiet. We had it, you know, plugged in so we could control the volume. And you could tell it was there, but it wasn't overcoming. I liked it. So I think people say, well, that could get out of hand and that represents the world and stuff. Yeah, we can do all those. But I don't know. I just, it's a tough one. It's a tough call.
Well,
because our younger generation, go ahead.
Yeah, on the other side of that argument is to praise the Lord with every single instrument. And I think that every single instrument can praise the Lord. You know, I do understand. I'm very aware of history. You know, there was a day when organs were considered worldly, and the only instrument that was in the churches was a guitar. Now, if you take your organ out and replace it with a guitar, you're considered worldly. And I think it's because of the rock music culture. I despise rock music. I think it's from hell. I think it's satanic inspired. And so it isn't the drum. It's what is that drum playing? And most commonly, those drum sets are used in rock music. And so, you could get up and just, you know, keep the beat and keep the timing. And, you know, there's nothing wicked, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I am so against the rock music culture. And music is different than a song. A song is music with words. And music is just the notes that are written. And I do believe that music itself is not amoral. I believe music can be either moral or immoral. And so I do believe that there is an immoral music. And the way that it is written is wicked. And the way that it causes your body to have sensual feelings is wrong. And I do think the danger is we're trying to gloss over some of that music and bring it into the church, and I don't think that that is pleasing to the Lord.
You know, with what I'm hearing from you, I'm kind of nervous. I feel like the next step is a tambourine for you. You probably get a tambourine in there. You'd be shaking that thing. I can just see it now. I can just see Denise be bopping across the platform with her little tambourine.
Nothing wrong with a tambourine. I don't plan on playing it, but
we kind of have a joke here. Brother Holland is not super musical. He's got a lot of great talents, but he's not super musically inclined. But when he was in school, he wanted to be in the band, and he really couldn't find an instrument that, you know, worked for him. So Brother Roush, who was the music man at that time, gave him a triangle to play.
I remember that.
We often joke and have him sit on the platform with a triangle.
I remember that. Come on, hilarious. Mike, it's your solo piece.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man. This is, I mean, this is a topic for the day, and I don't know. I've been in services where they use them. Have you been in a service where they use drums?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
Like a regular
I've been in services where it was done tastefully, where the music was good.
Yes.
But, you know, the fear is, I don't think it's going to stay good.
Right. Well, that comes by leadership, and that comes by, you know, I think setting some precedent and setting some things in place. And, you know, it's, again, it's not the drums that are evil. It's the guys that play them. No, I'm just kidding. every drummer.
Nothing wrong with a drum set. It's just the wicked pastor that lets them on the platform. No, we're joking.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's and I mean, those are some of the issues that are really, I think, a lot of our young people really struggle with, because they've not known the music that we've known in the past. I don't know if they would see that correlation.
My question is, I think we have a generation. I think we've got 3 to 4 generations of people that have gotten so addicted to wicked music that they want that brand or that type of music in church because they like it. And so because they like it and they want it, and that's the whole position of the flesh versus the spirit, because the spirit is always going against the flesh. The flesh is always going against the spirit. So one of the things of us just saying, but I like this, if that's right, the reason why we're doing it, that's not a good enough reason.
Yes, absolutely. And I do want my worship service to be different than the world. I think it definitely, and I see a lot of churches that want to bring worship and world together, and that's part of how they do it. How do we stay separate? And people say, well, the lyrics would separate us. But I don't know, you're not going to hear the music that we sing in church on the radio, usually. It's going to be different. And it's different for a reason. We want it to be different because we're worshiping God, not the flesh. And so how do we do that and maintain a good music program? We have a great music program here. I just had some folks visiting with us this last week. They loved our music, and we don't have a drum set. We had the piano, we had an electronic piano, and we had that bass guitar for that one men's group. And they thought it was phenomenal music. So, I don't know.
Let me interject just a little anecdote here. Here recently, before the midterm election, the president was having a rally in a particular state. I can't remember where it was, maybe Mississippi or Missouri. I guess a lady fainted or got ill or had some kind of attack. And the president stopped his speech and allowed the doctors to work on her, and I thought it was very gracious for them to do that, not just to go right ahead. So while they're waiting, it was like an 8 or 10 minute wait. While they're waiting, the congregation broke out, the group of people that were there, thousands of people, they broke out in a song, and they started singing Amazing Grace. Singing right. That song brought a different atmosphere and a different spirit. We're not talking about church. We're talking about a political rally, and I'm sure that there were many more unsaved people there than saved people. But it brought a different attitude and spirit. Why is it that even the meanest, you know, toughest guy in the world, at his funeral, people want to sing Amazing Grace? There's a difference in music that makes you contemplate and think about the Lord. That's little evidence. I know empirical evidence is what really makes the difference. But I think that we go back to the old tried good things that mean something in our heart.
Right. I've heard some modern musicians, you know, people will sing and they'll say, oh, you just took me to church. You just took me to church. That sound, that style is what church is to us. And there's an association with church music. And I don't know that people can find that today in a lot of the music programs of some of the seeker-sensitive or contemporary churches. There's not that division. And I like the division. I like it. And it comes down to this question, Brother Wolf, and our time is completely gone, but maybe we pick this up next week. The question is this: do we want to bring unsaved people into the church in an attempt to win them, or is church for the saved in an attempt to revive them to win the lost? What is church? And that's the question. Maybe we can answer that next week.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Hey, this is Brother Al Stone in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, saying have a great week.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Don't forget to review, give us a rating, tell some other folks about our podcast. We just want to help. We want to encourage people to take interest in ministry.
Hey, this has been Tim Talks. Now it's Tim Time. Take what you've heard, share it with somebody, and use it. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.